Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Papadopoulos. Welcome to The Psychology Behind. This week's episode is sponsored by Chrysalis Counseling Training Courses. This week, we're talking about how to cope with failure. Now, we all know what the dictionary definition of failure is, but I think that what is key when it comes to facing failure is how we define it for ourselves. Throughout the course of the day, we'll have a bunch of different things that go our way and a bunch of things that don't. Most of these will pass us by as minor annoyances or mini wins. But when we start buying into the idea that one of these setbacks is stable or a global indication of our ability or indeed even our value as a person, well, that's when the problems start. Now, in one study that I think illustrates this simply but really vividly, a group of people were asked to hit a target with a ball. The participants were then asked to estimate the distance and height of the target. Those that failed tended to estimate the target as being much further away and much higher than those that succeeded in hitting it, suggesting that failure made them feel that attaining their goal was indeed more difficult and less likely. And therein lies the insidious effect that failure has on us. The goalposts we are trying to hit don't change, but our perception of our ability to hit those goalposts does. And because of this, a common maladaptive response to failure is that we begin to see our abilities, our skill set, our intellect as somehow weaker than they are in reality. This, of course, affects future behaviors. So you begin to shy away from trying again because failure was painful. Worse yet, you self-sabotage because you're so convinced that you're going to fail anyway that you need a justification that distracts from the things that you see lacking within yourself. So instead of preparing for that exam or the job interview, you procrastinate, focus on other things. And when it doesn't go your way, of course, you can tell yourself it's because you had too much stuff on and you know, you weren't able to prepare properly anyway. And that's comforting for a while. But what's really happening is that we become convinced that we can't succeed, that we may be a failure. And this is really painful. So our defense is to stop trying altogether. And that way we can blame the outcome on external events rather than what we fear the most, i.e. that we ourselves are failures. This defense mechanism may work in the short term, but of course in the long term what it does is it stops us from putting our fears or our irrational beliefs about our competency to the test, and so we never give ourselves a proper chance to succeed. Now, we all know that we can't control everything that happens to us in life, but crucially, we can control how we respond and react to setbacks. Learning to respond to failures in psychologically adaptive ways is key because left unchecked, the impact of failure will affect confidence and self-esteem, it'll demotivate us, and it will limit the likelihood of success in the future. From a psychological perspective, one of the most adaptive things that you can do is understand how failure affects you psychologically and work to mitigate its impact. Here are the five things that I think you can do to make failure something you learn and grow from rather than something that brings you down.
We know you're a good listener. You listen to this podcast. You've listened to Dr. Linda speak on anxiety, how to boost your self-esteem, and being able to manage your time effectively. Well, now we need you to keep listening, because we want to ask you two questions. Firstly, do people often say that they trust you and your advice? And secondly, do you want a career that can make real positive changes in the lives of others? Then becoming a counsellor could be the right choice for you. Chrysalis Courses offer fully accredited part-time course options that are flexible around your commitments, meaning you could become an accredited counsellor or hypnotherapist in just 3 years and earn between £30 and £60 per hour as per the National Careers Service website. So, if you're looking for a new career or one that will fit around your busy life, all you have to do is search Chrysalis Courses online today and take the first steps towards your new career in counselling.
Number one, remember, failure isn't personal. Your first instinct when you fail is to make sense of it in terms of who you are as a person. It's a blow to your sense of competency and control, so you begin to second guess if you have what it takes to succeed. This is wrong. Just because you failed at something certainly does not mean that you are a failure. It simply means that you haven't figured out yet how to successfully achieve whatever it was that you were aiming for. Instead of looking at failure as some sort of insight into your identity and value as a person, make a point of taking a step back and depersonalizing it. Try and look at what happened more objectively, the way, you'd assess a puzzle. Look at it logically and analytically, without emotionalizing your assessment of the situation. Think about why things went wrong, what things were bad luck, and what things you could have controlled. Try and be constructively critical when it comes to assessing your actions, so that instead of merely defining problems, you come up with ways that you could act differently in future. Number two, don't celebrate or berate yourself too much. We live in a world today that's really quite polarizing in the way that it presents successes and failures. And I think this is why it sort of distorts the way that so many of us react to it. The fact is, whether something goes your way or not, your reaction to it, and indeed how long you spend reacting to it, will determine how well you do in future. In the same way that if you had one success, it's unlikely that you decide that now you've had that success, that you can stop trying at life altogether, that you're always the smartest person in the room, and that going forward, you'll clearly always have one success after another. It's equally illogical after a failure to constantly think and dwell on it and let it punctuate your identity and your decisions and assume its things are always going to be bad. There has to be a statute of limitations for how long you beat yourself up around something that's not gone your way. You failed, and that sucks. But ruminating pointlessly on how bad you feel or how unfair the world is, this won't help you. Our lives have high points and they have low points. And the way to mitigate both and gain some perspective is, of course, to take a moment to relish our successes and learn from our failures. But then to stop and look forward to your next challenge. You'll have more success if you aim for what's in front of you rather than either fearing the past or relying too much on it. Number three, reframe the notion of failure. We fetishize success in our society. We make it look easy, seamless, even ubiquitous. With bookstore shelves filled with autobiographies and memoirs of successful people smugly staring down at us, and countless stories of how a simple idea jotted down on a napkin after dinner one evening became a multi-billion dollar company. At the same time, we are taught to fear failure. Our young lives punctuated by achieving exam results, performing on tests, and dreading and catastrophizing failure as if it's the end of the world. So in our minds, we think success should be easy, and we link failure with personal shortcomings. I think it's really important that we do away with this inaccurate binary view of success and start talking about failure as a natural progression towards achieving any goal. I defy anyone to speak to a successful person that hasn't had failures. They are part of the process, and the sooner that we're able to see that, well, the more successfully we'll use failure. Because instead of seeing setbacks as indications of inability, we'll be able to treat them as learning opportunities and insights that will bring you closer to your goals. Number four, don't let it become something you're ashamed of. As we've discussed so far, we're taught to fear failure and see it as something to be embarrassed of. Now, that's a problem because shame, instead of making us feel like we did something bad, makes us feel instead that we ourselves are bad, that we are somehow defective or broken. Shame becomes an ugly lens through which we assess ourselves, so it's really insidious. Now, unsurprisingly, because we feel shame, we want to hide our experience away from others, and so we become secretive about failures. This is wrong, as it will only let the shame fester. In order to challenge the shame, we need to share tales of our setbacks, talk about them with close friends and with mentors. We also need to seek out stories of others that had failed but didn't let a setback define them. From Abraham Lincoln losing congressional races to Michael Jordan being cut from school basketball teams, there are so many inspiring stories of how to do failure well. So seek them out and learn from them. Doing this will not only take away the power of shame, but it will give you the chance to assess what happened through someone else's eyes, who may not have the same negative bias as you. And this will give you a chance to engage with stories that will normalize the fact that failure happens to us all. And this, in turn, will make it easier to let go of the impact of a setback and move forward more confidently. Number five, Finally, get back on the horse before it becomes something that you fear. Once you've thought through what happened and what you've learned from it, don't take too long to try again. Remember, resilience doesn't come from avoidance, but rather from figuring out that you can have a setback and still survive it. So by all means, take stock of what happened. Feel the difficult feelings, learn and change, but don't take too long, because the sooner you try again, the smaller the setback will feel. I hope that helped, guys. I hope it put failure into perspective, because, you know, the more we normalize failure, you know, as an absolutely integral part of any success, then, you know, the easier it will be to kind of not only not internalize it, but get rid of that shame that we spoke about. So I hope you found that helpful. I always love speaking to you. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. You know the drill by now. So rate, subscribe, let me know of any ideas that you have. And until we speak again, I wish you all a healthy, happy mind and body.